Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicello. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicello.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. I'm always pleased to be here on this program, Answering the Call, where we have a unique opportunity to sit down with some of our ordained clergy and the religious that are in our diocese and sometimes beyond our diocese and talk to them about their spiritual journeys and things and what led them into their current vocation. And our guest in the studio today is Father James Black. He's the pastor of St. Mary's in Delaware, Ohio, and he's a priest of 24 years, and he's here to share his spiritual journey into the priesthood. So welcome to Answering the Call at St. Gabriel, Father Black.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
It's very nice to have you here. And Father, like so many of our priest guests, you're a native of Central Ohio. You grew up on the south side of Columbus. So start by telling us a little bit about your family life and your early experience of the faith.
Yes, I grew up, as you said, on the south side of Columbus, and I'm one of five children. We belonged to St. Leo Parish when I was growing up, and church life was always very important to us. We went to Mass every Sunday as a family, and very active in parish life. Went to St. Leo School, you know, for my elementary education, Worley High School, so 12 years of Catholic education. And we were a very close-knit family, and I think that made part of my growing up very, very valuable, that I really valued that essence of family.
When you were in St. Leo's, grade 1 through 8, it was?
Yes.
What was that like? Was that maybe the beginnings of possibly a religious vocation at that point, or just a continuation of what you were experiencing at home in terms of your Catholicity? How would you describe those elementary and junior high years?
I think they were a part of my vocational call, even though it wasn't as obvious then, because of what faith meant to us as a family, what church meant, what parish meant. Being always active, I got to see, you know, not just, you know, on a Mass on Sunday. You know,
sure.
We were, as our family was active in various things at the parish, we were there a lot. So got to see a lot of different aspects of parish life just as a participant, if you will.
Did you have any particular role models from St. Leo's?
I think the Franciscan sisters were there, and they had it in my education, and the pastor, Monsignor Trainer, was, I think, especially towards my later years at St. Leo's, he was very present amongst the school, you know, in the school, on the playground, his presence with us, with our activities as well. We were scouts or whatever, so often he would be there. Mm-hmm. At our football games, he was there, and I think that made a real impression on me, and I've tried to carry that out in my priesthood as well.
That's wonderful. And did you serve on the altar?
I did. I was an altar server. Remembered going over and learning the new Mass from Vatican II.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was in my early days, I think, before I was a server, but remembered going over and learning those things, and then as a server, I think too, just being so close up to what a priest does at Mass. I think that, again, then I wasn't thinking I'm going to be a priest, but I think it just making those impressions on me helped later on.
Sure. And then after St. Leo's, you went on to, as you said, Bishop Worley High School, mm-hmm. and you did some wrestling and track there, and you were involved in some kind of a retreat program. Tell us about that.
Right. That was Teens Encounter Christ High School. It was, I remember, juniors and seniors. And I think that really started my taking my faith more personally, you know, and I see it as, again, back then I wasn't vocation yet, but thinking faith and how to live out the faith and pass, you know, that as I later became a part of the leadership in that, you know, when it was in my college years too, was part of the leadership in that. So I looking back, I see that, you know, taking your faith and helping others develop their faith as well, you know, which I see as a role of the priest, you know, was back then, even in those retreat sessions.
And what kind of activities did that retreat program do? What were the activities that the young people went somewhere to do, or was
right.
it all in the parish or in the?
It was
the high
a retreat
or?
That was done at a session at a building that we stayed there the whole weekend. It was just
weekend
retreat experience. It was talks, and then in small group discussion.
Great,
basically the format of the retreat.
And then after Bishop Worley, you attended Franklin University, where you'd pursue a business administration degree. Was it then in the college years, you said you were continuing in this tech program, the retreat program, as this time though as a leader. Mm-hmm. Is this where the seeds began to germinate for being a priest?
It was, yes. Then in my first and second year of college, because my activity with the retreat program, and more specifically as I got to know priests who were also involved in the program, and hearing what they did and hearing their excitement about the ministry, it really caught my attention. And learning what they did on a day-to-day basis, the variety, I think that's something that initially attracted me is that as they talked about the variety of things that they do, I became very interested in that. And so more hearing about what their lives were as a priest began to lure me into thinking about that for myself.
Okay. And then you were involved in something, the SPES
right.
program. Tell us what that is, what it stands for, what that program was about.
At the time, the diocese had a house that was for guys who were discerning the priesthood. They were doing their undergrad degree. To be a priest, you have to have a bachelor's degree. You major in anything, but you minor in religion and philosophy, a certain number of credits for that. And so the house was on Neal Avenue in Victorian Village. Mm. And it was for anyone who was in their undergrad part of their education, but discerning the priesthood. And so I lived there for about 2.5 years, finished my degree at Franklin University while I was there. And there were guys there who went to various colleges, but we came back and we had prayer time together. We shared responsibilities, house responsibilities, where I first started cooking for myself because at home, mom did all the cooking, but we sort of stayed out of her way. But we sort of learned the hard way. You had to learn to cook for, anywhere from 6 to 12 guys, and you learned the hard way by trial and error.
It sounds a little bit like St. Paul's outreach
in
a way.
Yes, it's very similar to St. Paul's outreach, right.
Okay.
Right.
So, yeah. And did a lot of these young men end up getting into the priesthood or?
A fair number, yes. Yes. For some, and it was one of those things where the discernment there perhaps was that they weren't called to the priesthood, but called to the married life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a success too, because they discerned, discerned their call. And so it was a 100% success rate.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you say, Father, it was about the priesthood that attracted you the most back in those days?
I think for me, it really was more of a practical, a vocational decision that said, I think I would like to do that. I think I've got the personality, the gifts to attempt to do this and to learn as I go. And so it was more about hearing what priests do, the leading in prayer, at Mass and in other occasions, the involvement with families, counseling, teaching, all of those things were very attractive to me. And I said I could do a little bit of everything, and that's what really attracted me to it.
Wonderful. And you did finish Franklin University with a business administration degree. What was the reaction of your family and your friends to your discernment about taking this further and looking into the priesthood?
Very supportive. Everyone was very supportive. Some, I think, were surprised. Mm-hmm. I don't think it shocked anyone, but I think it surprised some people. But all very supportive amongst my family and my friends.
Okay. So you didn't have anyone resisting that or trying to talk you out of that?
No.
Okay, so just kind of more affirmation. And then what you needed to do, you needed to complete some pre-theology work.
Right.
Where'd you
do
that?
I did that at St. Meinrad in southern Indiana, which was a real challenge for me because I lived literally in the city my whole life.
Oh, okay.
Village, at the Spes House in Victorian Village. So I was, almost within sight of downtown. So I lived in the city all of my life. And then St. Meinrad is in southern Indiana. That's pretty much an hour from anything.
In the cornfield somewhere,
right. Yes. So I thought, well, if I'm going to discern, that's going to be the place to do it because there'll be little distractions. So, and it was a very challenging time for me to move away from home and to move away from a city. But it was a very, very rich experience. It was just 1 year and made some friends that I still am in contact with to be exposed to the monastic life, which was very a great experience for me. The vocation director at the time asked in one of the visits, he said, one of the things that where I was nervous about sending guys here is because the monastic life seems so attractive, they stay.
Mm.
And I said, I don't want to stay. Trust me.
You knew that wasn't
I knew
calling.
That was not my calling. Yeah, a beautiful life, a beautiful you know, experience, but I knew that wasn't my calling. My calling was to be active in parish life. And so I assured him that I'd be coming back and to the diocese.
And then from there, you attended Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, and that's
actually
where you
in Cincinnati. There to this Mount St. Mary of the West.
Okay, I didn't get that clarified on the phone. Yes. So down in Cincinnati, and that's where you get your graduate theology degree. And tell us about your experience there.
It was a great experience. It was more local. Yeah, the seminary there deals with most of the diocese in Ohio, Kentucky. You know, a great you know, staff. Great experience at the time. They were starting a new program where rather than do a diaconate year or a diaconate semester, after your second year of theology, you take a year out and spend a whole year in a parish.
Like a parish assignment, okay.
Right, midway in your education to get that experience of parish life, which was very rich for me. In fact, I enjoyed it so much. I did 2 years. I took a second year after my first year. You know, still wanted to do some more discernment there before I returned to the seminary. So, took 2 years out and worked in two different parishes, Holy Spirit on the east side and St. Peter's in Worthington.
And both of those assignments just further confirmed in your mind that, yes, parish priest, that's where you wanted to be headed.
Right.
So there wasn't any time in seminary that you were thinking, you know, rethinking the whole thing. It just seemed to be affirming 1 year after the other.
It did. There was, it really wasn't a time I had to continue to wrestle, you know, with, you know, which vocation to go with. And, but for me, it was it always seemed to be leaning towards the priesthood. And so I, you know, did some resisting, but not too much. You know, I didn't give God too much of a fight. I, you know, it was more feeling myself, you know, am I worthy? Can I do this? It was more of that rather than, you know, I'm really being called to another type of life.
So after those two internships, you had to finish up your theology degree.
Right. And I did that at the Josephinum.
Okay. You came back to Columbus and did that. And then you were ordained in?
1988.
So 24 years ago. And let's take a minute to look at where you've been serving these last 24 years. You started out as an associate at St. Matthew's in Gahanna. Yes. You were at St. Catherine of Siena in Bexley. And also at St. Joseph's Cathedral in downtown Columbus. You also served as a chaplain at Bishop Hartley High School. You were made pastor of St. Peter's in Chillicothe and St. Mary, Queen of the Missions in Waverly, Ohio. Those were two separate parishes.
Correct.
That you were being pastor over both, and that must have been busy. And then in 2006, you became pastor of St. Mary's in Delaware, Ohio, where you still serve today. So looking back, Father, over these last 24 years of priesthood, how does the reality of being a priest compare to maybe what some of your preconceived ideas of the priesthood were when you were back, say, in the college days?
Okay. I think I knew that, again, the varied nature of what a priest does in day-to-day is what initially attracted me. And then as I lived out that as a priest, I realized that was also part of the challenge that, you know, in the course of a few hours, you might go from something that's very celebratory to something that's very tragic, you know, to be in the middle of something and then be called to a hospital to minister to a family. And the challenge of that, to go from, you know, one extreme to the other very quickly and to try to be present, you know, and especially if you're going from, as you go from one to the other, if you know that's a part of your day, sometimes we're scheduled that way. We go from, you know, a funeral in the morning to a wedding in the afternoon on a Saturday. That's quite a common thing. So if you know that, you can prepare yourself sort of spiritually and emotionally for that. But sometimes it happens very quickly, and to be able to separate that. And I always do it with prayer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in the car on the way to the hospital or to the home, if it's something in the home. In that time, you know, turn the radio off. Even turn St. Gabriel radio off, but use that time for prayer to prepare myself for what I need to do when I arrive.
And you maybe had a little bit of an advantage with those two internships, those two pastoral assignments that, you know, you really did get a full taste of what parish life was going to be in these quick changes, like you say, from one sacrament to another and all that goes with that. So I'm sure after those two pastoral internships, as I said, it really solidified in your mind that you definitely wanted to be a parish priest. This is where you were called to. So tell us what you find most rewarding about being a pastor, and then what you find most challenging.
Okay. I think the most rewarding is having so much time with family, in parish, you know, for it's sort of ironic that, you know, a celibate lifestyle, you're completely immersed around family life, mm-hmm. The families of the parish, where you're involved with their lives in so many different ways. And that really, I find truly rewarding, that families open up and you become a part of their family life, to share their joys and share their challenges and even tragedies to be a part of that. That's truly rewarding. I've learned a lot about family life being a priest.
Yes, yes.
Even without a family of my own, it's sort of an extended experience.
Was it like that for you when you were growing up as a young person? Were priests visitors to your home, or did you have that sense where your family was close to its pastor? Or
it was. I think in the things that we were involved with, in my later years, my father was very ill. He died very young. I was just in college when he passed away. So the pastor would visit often, to visit him and bring communion to him. And that too was, I think, I saw that and really valued that for my family, knew how much that meant for my family. And I think that was part of that inspiration as well.
Right. Okay. And then, what do you find most challenging about being a pastor today?
I think, for me, and I think for many pastors, it's the administration part of it.
Yes, we hear that a lot.
We don't get a lot of preparation for that in the seminary. Fortunately, I knew what a balance sheet looked like from
my
undergrad.
That's right, you had your business
degree.
And that,
so that helped somewhat. But I knew nothing about roofs and leaks and things like that. But as a pastor, even if you have it, we have a great staff at St. Mary's that does that. But I have to be at least in touch with what's going on to be able to help with that. So that's probably the most challenging is the amount of time that's spent in administration. The bills and like I said, roofs that leak and things like that I find difficult. And so I really have to, for myself, especially if it's a day that's full of that, to, insert, even if it's for 5 minutes, I'll go over to the school at lunchtime and relax, with the kids. And that's 100% affirmation,
Right.
So in the midst of my day to do those sorts of things is, I enjoy it. And I, as I said, I knew how much that meant to me as a child to see my pastor, in the school and at our events and that. So, so to do that as well for the children, I think it's good for them to see a priest and to see them, out and amongst things. But sometimes it's a little selfish that I just need that break from papers and schedules and, figures to, just go out and be with the kids. So.
Right. As a parent, I understand that. Sometimes you just need to go out and shoot baskets or something with the kids for a while. We're talking with Father James Black of St. Mary's Catholic Church in Delaware, Ohio, and he's our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. So, Father Black, in the days today, these days especially, that priests can be really stretched thin by all the demands, all the responsibilities put upon them. Many are covering two parishes. So, and you've been through that yourself. What do you do to remain spiritually grounded with all the pressure that's on you guys today?
I think what's vital is to have daily prayer. Even if, and I've talked with other priests about this, that to sometimes you have to adjust your prayer. The time you had planned for prayer now is involved with something else. To consciously never let it go completely, even if you have to. And I've done this. I've just been between two things, and I've just pulled off into a parking lot and took 5 minutes of prayer time. To make sure that you get it in there, even if it's not as you planned it. And I think that's important.
Do you have any special prayers you do, any special devotions, or is it just kind of the impromptu connecting
for me,
with God
right,
at that moment
right.
and to kind of get that peace
right.
for whatever you're about to face next?
Sure, sure. And the rosary, or even if it's, I have to adjust from a rosary to a decade. I do a decade, and make sure that there's something that's done there.
Now, you also stay connected with other priests. That's something
yes.
else that's important to you. Tell us about what you guys do.
I've been fortunate to be a part of a group that's been together for a little over 10 years now, and we meet once a month at the various parishes where we are. So we've been around, and we're right now the guys in my group are all over the diocese from Portsmouth to Dover, and I'm in the middle there. So and we meet once a month, and we have prayer time together, an hour of prayer. We go to lunch, and we come back, and we've done a variety of things for sharing and discussion. We've done sort of a book study. Currently we're looking at the Sunday readings, so we're sort of helping one another with our homilies, so that helps too. So we reflect on the upcoming Sunday readings, and then we spend social time together if we can, you know, to stay the evening and cook dinner together or go to a movie or something like that.
Right. And I understand you are pretty serious about your cooking still.
Yes,
and
yes.
In fact, you entered the Clergy Who Cook contest. We had Father Sizemore on some weeks back, and he was telling us about that. In fact, you cooked with him.
Yes, I did. The first year I cooked with him, and then last year we had separate tables. It's a great, great event, a great fundraiser for the Josephinum, and a fun time, a real fun time.
And you walked away with an award. Not only did you
have
fun.
Yes, the first year, yes.
Kind of the gauntlet has been thrown now by Father Black, another clergy who can cook. So it's wonderful we have you guys in the diocese. And, you know, as I was listening to you describe that community that you're experiencing with those priests, that's so vital today. I think the majority of priests tend to live by themselves in their rectories.
Right.
And yet community is essential, you know.
Absolutely.
And so it's great to hear that several of you do get together routinely for prayer, for faith sharing and relaxation and just that bonding, because I think it takes one priest to understand another priest. What you guys go through is different than, for instance, what lay people go through. So it's wonderful to hear that. Do you have any hobbies or activities that help keep you mentally and physically fit?
I enjoy playing racquetball and tennis. It's hard to go back and forth from one to the other. I'm always careful when I go from... When I play tennis, but I don't do as often as I do racquetball, I find myself hitting the ball all over the place. Because racquetball, you've got a ball you can bounce,
it
off of. But tennis, it just goes out into the field. So it's a very different type of thing. But I enjoy doing that and exercising with a treadmill and things like that. Have some knee injuries, so I can't do running anymore. But do the treadmill and the bikes.
Do you do the racquetball and tennis? Do you do that with parishioners or your fellow priests? Or?
Priests mostly, yes.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
See, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And what special gifts or charisms or area of knowledge would you say God's given you to assist in your vocation as a priest today?
I think people have told me that my sort of calm personality helps them a lot to be at ease. And I always have been that way. I've been very, you know, very low-key personality, don't get too upset about things, which helps me that, you know, I can sort of look at things in a different way and to be peaceful about it. And again, I've had people tell me that helps them when I'm dealing with things, I don't get too worked up or anything.
Good. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit, as we have a few more minutes in the show, about St. Mary's in Delaware. I know every pastor loves to brag about their parish. And I know it's 2,200 families up there, so that's a pretty good-sized parish. Is it hard to maintain a sense of community with so many people?
It really isn't. St. Mary's is a great parish. Here I go bragging about parish. But because even though it's so large, there's really a sense of community. I've had friends come visit from, you know, when I moved from Chillicothe and, you know, going to such a large parish. And every time I've had a friend come to visit from another parish to St. Mary, they comment, they're surprised how friendly people are. They think, you know, a large family, a large parish, no one's going to know, but how many times they were recognized as a visitor. You know, how hard it is for a big parish like that a visitor is recognized and someone has come up to them and said, you know, are you new to the parish, and welcomed them. And that really made an impression. I think St. Mary's is that type of parish. It's very welcoming, even though it's very large. It has a very small parish feel because of that.
And what do you attribute that to?
I think it's just that sense of pride with parish. I think part is that we have many generations of the same families, so people know one another, which is not as common in a larger parish, where everyone knows one another because their families have been there for generations.
That is unique.
And a great mix of new families that come in and maybe there for just a few years and then their job takes them somewhere else. So it's a great blend of the different lifestyles that everyone's always welcoming and respectful of the different types of families. So,
and I know you have a couple of neat programs up at St. Mary's. You have a really interesting youth ministry program that starts as early as third grade.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
We have a high school program that runs every Sunday evening that includes education as well as social things for them. That we have a middle school and elementary school program that's once a month on Saturdays called Tag and Summit. That starts in the third grade and runs through the seventh grade. They're broken up in two different sessions, and it's our Saturday evenings, and again, it follows the same format. There's always some sort of input or faith formation type thing, and then just fun times together. We usually incorporate some sort of service with that too. And then that runs third through seventh or eighth grade, we include our eighth grade in our high school program. So our eighth graders, whether And some of them are obviously in the St. Mary's School or in the PSR program, but they're also invited to the high school program on Sunday evenings. And many of them respond to that. So they're sort of pulled into the high school group early, gets them in early, and they usually stay because they've had a great experience. So
they're
very proud. They really start very young with that. And they move from one to another as they leave the tag as the younger kids. They like when moving to Summit because the Summit, the older kids can also help with the younger kids. So they can come early and help with the program that starts earlier and then stay for their program.
Wonderful. And I know you have another neat program called Family Promise, and maybe in the last 30 seconds, can you tell us what that is?
It's a community effort with other churches in Delaware County that where we house homeless families for a week at a time, and then they move on Sunday evening when they've been here for a week, and our parishioners staff it. They bring they have volunteers to do the cooking, to be with the families through the evening. And then we're very lucky that now we have acquired a house that the family then will stay, and the different churches will come into them, which will be very helpful. They're not as they have to move every week.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for a family who have enough things to challenge them that there'll be one place they call home.
Oh, that is wonderful. And it sounds like wonderful things are happening up at St. Mary's. Father Black, thank you so much for joining us today and answering the call. And could you close us with a blessing?
Absolutely. We ask God's blessings upon us, and especially as we might be listening to this program as we travel, that the Lord may keep us safe in our travels and bless all of us as we respond to God's call in so many different ways, that it's the same call to holiness and it's the same call to get close to God. May Almighty God bless all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you again, Father Black. I'm Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I hope you'll join us next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and Sunday at 4 for another edition of Answering the Call. Have a good week. God bless.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Michael Parker, co-host of the Catholic Doctor Show. Please join me and my co-host, Dr. Will Turek, at 4 p.m. on Saturdays and 9:30 a.m. on Sundays on the new home of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.